And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you today. Praise God for yet another day. This is Friday. You know, I never say TGIF, thank God it's Friday, because thank God for every day, right? I mean, thank God for every day. And my schedule is such that Friday is really not different than most days. I don't usually have weekends to rest and relax, as some people do who work Monday through Friday. So I don't think of it in the same way, but I'm grateful for today. And I know that some of you are going to end your work day today, and you're going to be able to relax some tomorrow, get to church on Sunday morning, and have dinner with your family on Sunday afternoon, and spend a little bit more relaxed time than you do during the week. So thank God for you and your ability to do that. I'm not asking for your sympathy. I have to plan to make some time to rest from time to time, but I get it in, and I'm just grateful to God for everything that I do, and of course for being on the air and having an opportunity to talk to you all. So I want to say again, this is American Family Radio. You can listen to us live stream on AmericanFamilyRadio.net. And all kinds of great programming and people, and I was with some of them last night. I happened to be with Walker Wildman and Abraham Hamilton III and Wesley Wildman, and we had a group of about 250 people out in Fredericksburg, Virginia last night. That's about 2 hours from my home. I was able to drive up and be there with them and had a tremendous time. I really did. You know, I'm always glad to meet listeners who come up to me and say, you know, I've been listening to your program. Of course, I haven't been on the air nearly as long as Walker has or as Abraham Hamilton III has. But still people came up to me and said, you know, I've been listening to the program. I'm so glad you're on every day. And it's just very encouraging to hear that. I mean, I have great fun doing it and enjoy it very much. But it is nice to know that other people are enjoying it and getting something out of it, too. And, of course, I was with some great, great people. I found out about the sense of humor of Wesley. And he's a very funny guy. And heard some wonderful things from Walker, who has, he's on the air here on American Family Radio, I think about three times a week. And, of course, Abraham Hamilton III is just one of the sharpest young men I've ever had the privilege of meeting. I mean, the guy just really said some absolutely brilliant and inspired things last night. So it was just a great time. Well, you know, one of the things that came up last night, and by the way, we do this from time to time, apparently all over the country. I'm new to it. First time I've had an opportunity to be at one of these events, but we do this from time to time all over the country. And so stand by, because when we are doing them, I have no doubt that we will announce it and tell you. And if we're coming to a place near you, by all means, come and see us, because we really do want to meet you. We had people, believe it or not, folks, we had people who drove 5 hours last night. They started out yesterday, of course, early, and drove 5 hours to be at this meeting. And that's just, I mean, I am inspired. I'm astounded that the network has that kind of impact on people, that they would make that kind of effort to come and meet some of the personalities who are behind the microphones. And so I was really gratified. During the discussion period, because at the end, after the speakers finished, there was a question and answer period, and one of the questions came up was about public schools. Well, what do we do about public schools? And we got two kinds of answers, of course. One kind of answer is always, what can we do to make the public schools actually stop indoctrinating children and start educating them again and start teaching them about America, about citizenship, about history, about science, about math, rather than indoctrinating them into a certain Marxist, Leninist socialist, communist worldview, which is antithetical to everything this nation represents. And I'll tell you the answer that I've been giving probably for the last couple of years. This was not always my answer because, by the way, my wife taught in public schools for 20 years. So while I did not do, and I did some substitute teaching myself, but my wife was a full-time teacher in public schools for 20 years. So I am not without some knowledge and understanding of what goes on in public schools because my wife would relate it to me. And from time to time, I would go visit her in the classroom and see firsthand. But she was actually there. I have come to the conclusion, she's retired now, and she has too, that the public schools are really hopelessly corrupt. They're just hopelessly corrupt. Somebody asked me a question about the secular humanism that prevails in the public schools. And I say, well, it's beyond that. It's really Marxism. I mean, it's really communism when you think about it. Now, here again, I'm not suggesting people are card-carrying members of the Communist Party or anything like that. But what I'm suggesting is that Marxist ideas, rather than what we would call classical liberal ideas, I don't mean liberal as in left, I mean classical liberal as in the philosophy that informed our founding fathers, the freedom of the individual, the limitations on the power of government to encroach upon individual liberty. Those kinds of ideas are no longer taught. Collectivism, economic planning, centralized planning by the government, control over people's speech and behavior in a variety of different ways. These are the things that are now being espoused in public schools and that the children are imbibing. Well, it just so happens that there is evidence that my thesis is correct. Because all over the world today, including here in the United States of America, now I don't know how widespread this is, but actually, I guess this was yesterday, but it's continuing today, this celebration of what they're calling the global climate strike. The global climate strike. Now, folks, they've got children, including elementary school children, leaving school to go out and express their concern about climate change and about the end of the planet. If we don't do something on an emergency basis, the planet is about to be destroyed. Now, this is worldwide, but of course, as you can imagine, in New York City, students were excused from class to participate. Yes, excused from school to participate. And apparently about 100,000 people turned out for a rally in Foley Square and a march to City Hall. And in Washington, D.C., thousands of students marched to Capitol Hill for a rally. And this is happening all over the world. This was time to start a week of activism at the United Nations, including the Youth Climate Summit on Saturday and the UN Climate Action Summit on Monday. And a second worldwide walkout is planned for September 27th, a worldwide walkout. They're calling that the Earth Strike. Now, folks, why in the world would any public schools, or maybe better call them government schools, allow children to be excused from their course of study to go to some stupid rally as if they themselves can do anything about the problem they claim exists? I mean, there's more and more evidence, for example, that India and China are completely ignoring all of this craziness. And they're the two largest nations in terms of population in the world. But America, which is 4% of the world's population, America supposed to solve the climate change cataclysm that's coming? I mean, this is sheer craziness, and our children are being indoctrinated with it. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Voters need to trust in the integrity of the ballot box. That is why we should enact common sense protections. But in our age of political division, even common sense provisions are sometimes attacked as an attempt at voter suppression and voter intimidation. Fortunately, a new poll found that most Americans, at least in Texas, agree with attempts to ensure the integrity of the vote. The Dallas Morning News provided a summary of the Texas Lyceum poll and found that Republicans and Democrats alike expressed greater than 70% support for four key ideas. First, require electronic voting machines to print a paper backup of the ballot. Both Republicans and Democrats supported this provision. Second, automatically remove inaccurate and duplicate registrations from voter list. In this case, 86% of Republicans and 77% of Democrats agreed with this provision. Third, require voters to show a government-issued photo identification to vote. This is where there was the greatest split. Nearly all Republicans approved of this measure, while only 72% of Democrats agreed. Fourth, there should be an automatic updating of voter registrations when people move. To its credit, the editorial board of the Dallas Morning News approved of each of these provisions. They understand that having a printed backup of voting machines makes sense. They also agree we should be cleaning out bad registration information. And they acknowledge that requiring a voter ID has been controversial. But they add that nearly everything in our lives requires an ID, from renting a home to cashing a paycheck to getting medical care. All of us can add many other activities that require an ID. This should not be seen as a major burden. This recent poll reminds us that most Americans endorse common sense provisions in order to have voter integrity. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
Rapid Rock Layers. This is Ken Ham, co-author of the eye-opening book on Noah's Flood, A Flood of Evidence. Most geologists say rock layers are formed slowly over long ages. Now, they believe changing seasons and lots of time are required to make complex layers. But a catastrophe last century showed that it's not always the case. When Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980, it produced ash deposits. Some were a fraction of an inch thick, while others were over 3 feet. They've all the features of the other ash beds we find around the world, yet they were laid down in seconds to hours. The Bible tells us in Genesis there was a global flood. It would have laid down most of the rock layers we have today. It doesn't take millions of years.
Plan your visit with your family to the Ark Encounter, the full-size Noah's Ark attraction in Northern Kentucky, when you go to AnswersRadio.com. AnswersRadio.com.
Ryan Fisher here. What the Talking Snake Media does not want you to know about this fake whistleblower scandal. Zuckerberg admits Facebook is biased against pro-life groups. Students at a seminary are praying to plants. What do lesbians think of Pete Buttigieg, who wants to be our first homosexual president? And is the NFL blacklisting Colin Kaepernick? Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back, and I'm your host here on American Family Radio. This program is called The Awakening because I am trying to wake people up. And so tell a friend, tell a neighbor, look, you don't need to be anywhere near a radio that carries our programming. Either we have almost 200 stations across the nation, about 181, I think, exactly, that are carrying all of our programming, the number that carry part of it. So we got lots of stations, but a person doesn't need to have a radio station to listen. They can get on their smartphone, their tablet, their laptop, and even their gaming device. So there's no excuse not to be listening to AFR almost 24/7. So, and I threw almost in there just to give you a little bit of flexibility, okay? The number here is 888-589-8840. I'll come to your calls in a few minutes, but I wanted to get this out. Look, so we're having this worldwide climate strike and on the 27th, an earth strike again, and they're using school-age children, kindergartens, elementary school children, as part of this protest against climate change. Now, folks, once again, what this does is it serves to persuade me of the utter moral bankruptcy of the left. Utterly, morally bankrupt. And I say that because when you are willing to use children, as they are in many, many cases, to use children in a cause that those children don't have a clue what it's regarding, don't have any sophisticated understanding of the situation at all, but you put them out front as if they're supposed to be some kind of experts who are helping us save the planet, you are exploiting kids. You are exploiting them. You are using their age, their innocence. You are using their cuteness and the fact that all normal human beings have a certain sympathy for children, and we love them, and we want to protect them, and we want them to be safe, and all of that. And so you're exploiting children, and then you're manipulating them because they have no idea what you're talking about, but you're manipulating them and putting them out front, putting a message in their mouth, which has absolutely no regard to reality. You're scaring the daylights out of them because you're telling them the planet's going to end, kids. The planet's about to be destroyed. You've got to do something, or you're going to float away with all the polar bears. All the polar bears who, by the way, since it was predicted that the melting of the ice caps is going to kill all the polar bears, the number of polar bears, I guess in the last 30 years it's about tripled. Yeah, we got about 28,000 polar bears. They're all over the place in America. I mean, not all over the place in America, but I mean, you know what I mean. There are plenty of them in America. They're primarily, of course, in the Arctic, but there are plenty of them in America. Plenty of them. And we were told they were about to become extinct because after all, the destruction to the climate, we were destroying their habitat and they would not survive. Well, they seem to be doing very well. Remember, we were told that the elk, as a result of the pipeline, if it ran through Alaska, it would destroy the elk herds. And we found out that because of the heat that the pipeline emanates, the elk have increased their reproduction because the heat gives them some comfort. I won't go any further than that in explaining that, but quite the contrary. It has not caused the destruction of the herds. It has caused them to multiply. And yet you got kids out there telling everybody that the planet's about to be destroyed, giving these kids nightmares to further this ridiculous power grab. That's all it is, this power grab, this attempt to have people cede to you control over every dimension of their lives, because after all, you need to do that in order to save the planet. I mean, is that any different than Hitler saying you need to do that in order to save Germany? Or Mao saying you need to do that in order to save China? Yet it's not a single individual who is a totalitarian leader, folks. It is a cabal of cultural totalitarianists who are really, in many ways, more effective than state totalitarianism because the target is much more amorphous. You don't see where it's coming from because it permeates the society. It's in the corporate world. It's in the public schools. It's in the colleges. It's in the universities. It's in every dimension of life. And sadly, folks, if we're not very, very vigilant, it'll be in more churches than we care to even imagine. It's already there, but a lot of these churches are already in apostasy. But some conservative Bible-believing churches, if they're not vigilant, they will find that this stuff will insinuate its way right into a Bible-believing church. And it will find itself compromising because there are people there who are dedicated to making sure that it does. And then, folks, there's a story, and I think it's in Breitbart, where they did a poll of the kids to ask them what they knew about climate change. And yes, exactly the answers. Worthy of Art Linkletter. They didn't know a thing about it. But they're parading these kids out and letting these kids out of school to go and march for climate change. It is just a very, very... They're exploiting them, they're manipulating, and you know, in my view, they're abusing them because you're giving these kids nightmares. You're telling these kids it's the end of the world. And that if they don't do something, I mean, their mother, their father, their grandmother, their grandfather, their uncles, their aunts, their cousins, their nieces, their nephews, their brothers, their friends, their schoolmates are all going to die. I mean, what kind of message is that to be giving to children? I mean, what kind of message is that to be giving to anybody? Because it's a lie in the first place. But they're selling it, folks. They're selling it, and they don't care to whom they sell it. They are willing to sell it to anybody who they can get to buy it, and who better than vulnerable, immature, gullible, naive children. Once again, proof positive that the left is so morally bankrupt that they're even willing to exploit children to further their quest for power. And that's all it is, folks. It's a quest for power. It's not a quest. I don't know how many of them believe this stupid mess about destroying the planet. I don't, maybe all of them do. There is a kind of mass psychosis, as I said, a kind of a moral psychosis. There is a kind of cult-like quality to the left these days. So the Democrat Party and the left, there's a cult-like quality to it where everybody has to march lockstep and say the same thing and believe the same thing and use the same phrases and all of that. It really is cult-like. So maybe in that sense, more of them believe it than we know. But I have to believe some of these elites know better, but they don't care. Because as totalitarianists, the only thing that matters is the result. The ends justify the means. And just like Stalin didn't believe every lie he told and didn't believe any of them, probably, and Mao didn't believe any the lies he told, and Hitler didn't believe any of the lies he told, but he knew that people would believe them, and so they would tell them because they knew that they could manipulate people by telling them. And I'm sure there are a bunch of elites who, it's the same thing. Well, what difference does it make? They won't know the difference. Just say it. And it will make them want to surrender to us the power to save them. Sound familiar? Folks, it is Alinskyite, it is Stalinist, it is Leninist, it is straight out of the Marxist playbook. You so stoke in people the sense of disenchantment, fear of the future, uncertainty, instability, that they need a rescuer, they need a savior, and Jesus is not who they have in mind. It's whoever the apparatchiks are who control the mechanisms of the state or purport to or want to control those mechanisms. And folks, we've got the same kind of people here. And sadly, it's a sad look. You know, it pains me to say it, but we've got the same kind of people here that they had in China, that they had in Russia, that they had in Vietnam, that they had in Cuba, that they had in Korea, who saw problems as an opportunity to gain absolute power, even if the problems had to be created out of whole cloth, even if the problems were straight out of the wicked imaginations of those who sought the power. They were going to get it, and if that's what it took, that's what it would be. It's the equivalent of burning down the Reichstag and blaming the Jews. I mean, it's the equivalent of that because, you know, we got to do something. And what's the answer? Oh, Hitler's the answer. What's the answer? The left is the answer. The Democrat Party is the answer. No, Folks, God is the answer to what really ails us and what really brings us back to reality.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Some time ago, I had a tooth with a bad cavity. The edge of the tooth was so sharp that it cut my tongue. I called the dentist to make an appointment and was told that it would be a couple of weeks before the dentist could fill the tooth. But if I would come down to the office, he would smooth the tooth off so that it would not cut my tongue. Well, I went down to his office. He fixed the tooth so that it would not hurt, and then he took some x-rays of my teeth. I was told to come back in 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks later, I went back to the dentist. I was happy that the cavity was to be filled. It certainly needed filling. It was one of the largest cavities I've ever had. But when I sat down in the chair, the dentist informed me that he was not going to fill that cavity. I asked him, why not? He told me that the x-rays had revealed a larger, more serious cavity and an upper jaw tooth on the other side. It was far more important, he explained, that he correct the hidden cavity. So, for the next hour, work was spent correcting a cavity which I didn't even know existed. Well, after I left the dentist's office, I began thinking about how much like sin those two cavities were. I compared them to the two types of sins, the sins of the flesh and the sins of the spirit. Too often our emphasis has been on the sins of the flesh, drinking, cursing, running around, all the other things you know. I'm afraid that many times we have considered the sins of the flesh as the only sins, certainly as the major ones. We have ignored the sins of the spirit, sins like stinginess and prejudice and a bad attitude. The problem with the sins of the spirit is that they are not surface sins. They're deeper, hidden sins. The sins of the spirit are far more dangerous and far more difficult to detect and to get at than sins of the flesh. Indeed, like the hidden cavity, it often takes a very close examination to even know they exist. But they're certainly just as deadly as the sins of the flesh. Well, the dentist eventually filled my cavities, the one I knew about and the one I didn't. The thing that scares me so is that the one I didn't even know existed was far more serious than the one that had bothered me. I'll tell you what my trip to the dentist has made me do in my spiritual life. It's made me examine myself more closely in order to discover and correct the sins of the spirit. For I'm convinced that quite often they are far more deadly than the sins of the flesh. And I don't want to have a decayed soul because of them.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. Now, you have heard me say on this program, I would assume you've heard me say from time to time, and if you haven't, you will hear me say this from time to time, that the left really does behave more like a cult than like some kind of political movement, more like a cult. And this whole climate change thing, I think, once again, it underscores not only their moral bankruptcy in manipulating and using and scaring children, but it also demonstrates this cult-like quality. And for example, were you all aware of the fact that NBC did this program called Climate Confessions? Yeah, they want to encourage people to confess their climate sins. Yeah, I know. It just gives you a shudder when you think about it, doesn't it? What sins have you committed against the climate? Come to the altar of climate change and bow and confess your transgressions. And you will be given absolution by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the high priestess of climate confessions and morality. Folks, you know, this stuff would really be funny if it weren't so dangerous. But look, check this out. This thing put out by NBC reads, it says, even those who care deeply about the planet's future can slip up now and then. So they want you to know, if you fall short of climate change glory, you can confess it and be forgiven for your sins against the climate. Well, you know, and the thing is, not only Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez will intercede for you as high priestess of the climate change religion, but the universe will forgive you. Of course, right? The universe will do it. So these are some of the questions they ask, and I want you all to prepare to be rightly repentant, okay? Because after all, we may have sinned against the climate. Do you blast the AC? Oh, no, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I sometimes turn the temperature down to where I actually feel cool. Oh, no. Do you sometimes not eat your entire lunch and throw some food away? Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, boy, they're really hitting me where it hurts. Do you grill a steak every week? Oh, boy. Well, listen, folks. I've got a son, Earl W. Jackson Jr. I'm going to get him on the program for you all to meet him sometime. And when he was growing up, we had a hard time getting him to like vegetables. And to this day, he doesn't particularly care for vegetables. He loves steaks. He lives in Texas. And, of course, perfect place to be a steak lover, right? And I'm pretty sure that he and his wife grill a steak every week. In fact, his birthday was just a few weeks ago. And I sent him, as a matter of fact, you know what? If he's listening, he's going to get, because he doesn't know it's coming, I don't think. But my wife and I sent him one of these, you know, steak gifts so that, you know, these steaks packed in the dry ice and, you know, nice thick T-bone steaks. Well, guess what, folks? This is making me realize my son is a climate change sinner because he eats maybe more than one steak every single week. Oh, my goodness gracious. I will have to have a talk with him. We are really going to have a serious talk about this because, oh, my goodness gracious. So, can you just feel the guilt washing over you? Well, you can share your confessions with NBC News, and they will allow you to express your remorse over the use of plastics. Yeah, that plastics, that's a big one, folks. That's a big one. Over meat, oh, there's another one. How about transportation? Did you go to the store to pick up something at a time when you didn't really need to, where you could have waited until next week maybe so that you could have done it without making an extra trip to the store and burning up additional gas and polluting the environment? Well, you know what? The next time you do it, weep all the way to the store and weep all the way back. You low-down, dirt and dirty, rotten sinner you. And what about the use of energy? Oh, and here's, yeah, energy in general. But here's one. Paper. Do you actually make notes on paper? Do you actually use paper? Get in, go, if you are not at home, when you get home, get the paper out of your house. I mean, what is wrong with us? Oh, my goodness gracious. And you make sure that you sop every bit of gravy and juice off your plate. Don't waste a bit of food. All those scraps that you've been putting down the garbage disposal or throwing in the trash, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, folks, I'm making fun of this, but you know what really strikes me that is not funny about this at all? Think about the level of control that they are trying to exercise over people, so that you end up trying to inventory every single thing you do to ask the question whether you're, and notice the way they couch this, these are sins now, sins against the climate. So you ought to feel guilty. And here again, if you really want to be a good person, if you really want to be absolved of guilt, turn it over to Ocasio-Cortez. Alexandria says she's the boss. She knows what to do. You know, we little pea brain people out here who don't understand these things, we should just let her rule over us so that she and people like her can tell us exactly what to do. Here's how many times you can go to the store. You clean that plate off. You eat every bit of that food. Just make sure there's no meat on it. Get rid of that piece of paper. Don't you dare use that. Don't you realize how many trees you killed in order to have that paper? I mean, folks, you know, this is crazy. It's crazy. And now they're using kids to help push this nonsense? Wow. The number's 888-589-8840. I'm going to come to the phones right after the break. One other quick thing I'll throw in, and you may have heard about this, you can comment on this. Did you hear that Elizabeth Warren supporters are accusing Bernie Sanders supporters of being racist? Because apparently the Elizabeth Warren supporters are saying that any black people who are supporting Bernie Sanders, or no, the Bernie Sanders people are saying any black people who support Elizabeth Warren are bad black people, because good black people support Bernie Sanders. Only bad black people support Elizabeth Warren. You know, folks, I've said this many, many times before. You know, the biggest racists in this country today are not the Ku Klux Klan and skinheads and all that, because nobody pays any attention to these people. They're marginalized. We all know they're nuts. You know, the biggest racists in America are today is liberals who think they have the right to dictate, to control, in effect, to act like they own the souls of black people. And if you don't believe that, you just dare contradict the liberal orthodoxy and watch and see what kind of response you get. And you notice the word that comes back that seems to be common between these two things I've raised so far? Control. Control, folks. This is what they want. Control. Power. And you know, we Christians know that the only person, and even God, does not force control upon us, but the only person who has a right to control other human beings is Almighty God, and even he won't force that control on us. He will say, come to me if you want me, and I will lead and guide and direct you. If even God doesn't demand control over us, who in the world does the left think they are? Oh, I know. They think they're God.
Hi, Frank Turek, co-author of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Please join me, Stephen Meyer, Gary Habermas, Hugh Ross, Chip Ingram, and many more at the 2019 SES National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 11th and 12th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Whether you're new to apologetics or a seasoned veteran, you will walk away better equipped to engage the culture. Online sales end October 8th. For tickets and details, visit conference.ses.edu. That's conference.ses.edu.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
And sometimes they need, no matter what they've done wrong, whether it's lying or defying or whatever, sometimes they need some time to ponder it.
When your child disobeys, he or she may need some time to think that through. Here's Ginger Hubbard on Focus on the Family Minute.
So ask them those questions and then maybe have them go to their room and take a little time to ponder what they did, what they should have done instead. And even with lying, you want to have them come back and talk about what they should have done instead. Yeah. And, you know, also we need to be willing to share our struggles. You know, all of us have lied at one time or another. We all are going to struggle with that. And we need to be willing to humble ourselves and go to our kids and perhaps tell them about a time that we told a lie and what the consequences were and why it would have been so much better to be truthful in the first place. Mm. Even if it was hard to be truthful, it is always the best thing to tell the truth.
More parenting insights at familyminute.org.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, when we go to Israel and we visit the Sea of Galilee, we stay at a hotel right there on the seashore. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to get up every morning that we're there and you're going to say, hey, this is the place where Jesus walked on the water. This is the place where Jesus went on the boat with his disciples. This is the place where Jesus had much of his ministry, Capernaum, and places around there. So it's going to be a wonderful time there on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, we're going to take a boat ride out on the Sea of Galilee. That's just a couple of the days that we're in Israel, seeing the sites that you read about your whole life in the Bible. So for more information on this March 12th through the 20th tour, go to the website twholyland.com. Again, March 12th through the 20th, go to the website twholyland.com for all the information.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And folks, that word control always brings me back to totalitarian ideologies, among which, and prevalent among which in the left in our country, is Marxism, socialism, communism. But notice, it comes in all kinds of different guises today. It doesn't... Socialism is sort of an acceptable word, but you won't find people calling themselves Marxists or communists. But when you begin to examine their ideas and their approach to government and to culture and to law, you realize that's exactly the orientation that they have. So let's go right to the lines. We've got Roxanne from Mississippi. Roxanne, welcome.
Hey. Well, Bishop, thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for giving your good words of encouragement and truth and eye-opening examples of things. When you mentioned that about the children being exploited, yes, the school system is exploiting children in that they are teaching them that bizarre behavior is normal and that they want to desensitize our children to pain and accept harsh authority. I have a granddaughter when she was in the third grade in 2013. She went from straight A's and B's to F. And when I questioned the school about it, they said, oh, it's just a new system that she's going to have to get used to, which is a Common Core state standards, of course. And she didn't. She started wetting the bed every night, and friends in her room were writing I'm stupid on everything. They were wetting on themselves. They were getting sick. So the teachers couldn't do anything because the principal was threatening, you know, renewing their contract for the next year. And so it has been such an overwhelming threat to our society that these young children that can't even verbalize what's actually happening to them, you know, they go to kindergarten, they just think that's the way school is.
Annie, have you gotten to the bottom of what was causing all of this? I mean, I've got to go on to the next call, but I'm just curious, where was all this coming from?
Okay, David Coleman, who was from Manhattan, he studied education, and he came up with the Common Core State Standards, which is to go from the top down, from college level to go down that way, and it doesn't take into consideration the development of a child's brain at any certain age, what they're capable of learning, and it's really just put a lot of stress in them.
Wow.
And they cut off their parents from having any involvement in it. But, well, he and who conferred with Obama, and Arne Duncan, who is the Secretary of Education,
Worst people in the world to be consorting with about the education of our children. Roxanne, I got to go to the next call. But listen, thank you so much for the call. I mean, folks, Barack Obama is the guy who sent out the edict to public schools telling them that if a child even suggested that he was a different gender, that the school ought to do everything in its power to cooperate with that, including hiding the fact in its records that this was a male if he now wants to be a female. I mean, this stuff is just insane. Lynn of Louisiana. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, hello, Bishop. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Lynn, for calling.
I appreciate all you do. And I just wanted to bring up, you know, all these things going on in the world every day. Everybody's, you know, going crazy. They get berserk and they just go off the deep end. And, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, all these things are going to be happening. And we just need to keep praying and keep the faith, you know, and
I agree.
You know, pray for other people and, you know, try to help them. But I wanted you to expand at the end. I remember Jesus sitting there, but these are just the beginning of sorrows. And I was wondering if you could expand on that a little bit, comment on that.
Sure, absolutely. You know, Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars, earthquake in diverse places, men's hearts failing them for fear. And he described the number of symptoms toward the end times. He said all these things are the beginning of sorrows. And I really mean that all these things are the things that you will observe leading up to the great tribulation. And I hope I'm not stepping in on anybody's toes, but I'm pre-trib. I really believe we're not going to be here. I believe in the great catching away before the Antichrist fully takes over and begins to destroy and murder in a way that is unprecedented. Jesus said it'll be a time of trouble that the world has never seen nor ever shall see again. But yeah, I think he was referring to the fact that, remember, he talked about like a woman in childbirth pangs, that they get bigger and bigger and closer until ultimately she brings forth. Well, the problems of the world are going to get bigger and bigger and closer together until finally the ultimate eruption happens, which is the taking over the Antichrist and his delusional belief that he's somehow going to defeat God and his people and set himself up as God over the universe. I mean, this is the delusion of a man who is embodied by Satan. All right, let's go to, let's see, who do we have next? Let's go to Kathy of Mississippi. Kathy, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Bishop Jackson, for your wonderful, informative program. And you have brought up so much today. I'm a conservative Christian environmentalist. I want to start with the BRIC nations. That would be Brazil, Russia, India, and China. They have horrible human rights records. They have killed millions of people over the decades in the 20th and 21st century. And my concerns, I'd like to tie that into the things that we need and use and enjoy today that sometimes affects our environment, such as electricity, oil, gas, you know, to run our vehicles. And what my concern is the people that die because of these things that we use, such as Brazil, where the indigenous people are being murdered by criminals that are mining on their land, and the Deepwater Horizon accident in the United States when 11 souls died. And before that, British Petroleum, 5 years previously, had an accident in Texas. Well, the federal government waives their health and safety regulations and environmental regulations for the oil and gas industry. And I could just go on and on, but I'm not. I don't want to take up the time, but I'd like for your comments on that.
Well, first of all, thank you, Kathy. You know, and let me say this, folks. Nothing I ever say is to suggest that America's a perfect country or that we do everything perfectly. I think what I'm commenting on is the absurdity of the radicalism of the left and the degree to which they've completely denied reality. So, for example, the environment has been abused from time to time. We know that. We know people have done things that were wrong. But I think most Americans understand that we love the environment. We want clean air. We want clean water. We want a world that's beautiful. We want to keep our country beautiful. I love the outdoors. I mean, I just love it. And I don't want to do anything to destroy that. But I don't need an environmentalist coming to tell me that a puddle on my in my yard is a wetland and I've got to do this and got to do this and can't do this and can't do that and all this crazy stuff that the Environmental Protection Agency has done. But when it comes to protecting people who end up victimized because of industry, look, there's always got to be a balance, right? I mean, there's got to be a cost-benefit analysis. You don't want to kill people. You don't want to destroy people's home and habitat. But on the other hand, you do want progress. And so I think that's always a difficult balance to strike. And I think that we strike it in the direction of trying to make the standard of living for people better and better in every way we can. Wow, I don't have time to get into this, but I could really talk about this with regard to our country and the Native Americans. I just think you can't stop the flow of progress. And what you want to do is not make progress a bulldozer that destroys anything and everyone in front of you, but you want to make it a process of creative effort to make life better for people. And I think on balance, that's what's happened in America. And I think on balance, that's what all of us want for the environment. We want our lives to be better. We want our environment to be clean, but we don't want the dictates of some overweening government telling us that every single thing we eat and throw away and drive and all of that is somehow a sin against nature. Well, I went on too long with that. Let's go to Matt. And I think, Matt, you're in Arkansas. Welcome.
Well, good morning, sir. I think it's an honor and privilege to talk with not only my brother from another mother, but a former Marine as well.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. I have a confession to make for all of us, and that is that we, the people of this great nation, have allowed certain people through the years use our babies, they call abortion, use our children, and use the ignorant to further their agenda.
Yep.
Which I think I'm in agreement with you. I think it's just despicable. And we, the people, we need to wake up and start voting, not just our conscience, but the way that we feel like the Lord Jesus would want us to.
Amen. That's right. Not color, not personality, not party, but vote our Christian principles. And if we all do that, you know, folks, I have a vision of Christians of every background, every denomination, getting together and saying, look, we're not going to allow our country to become a nation that disdains God. And we're going to vote for people who are going to hold the Judeo-Christian principles upon which our country was founded. You know what? America would be just fine. I really believe it's up to us. So look, I've got to go, but thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for calling. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.